Father, we worship you. We honor you. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father, for a night like this. Blessed be your name, Lord, because you are God. Breathe on this service tonight. Let not one person live here the same way they have come. Let this mark a turning point for somebody. We look up to you and we know it is done. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a clap as you take it. Feel his presence. That's right. Oh.
Thank you, Master. Lift your hands everywhere you are. Just maintain quietness because His presence is here. Lift your hands and whisper, Jesus. Again. Receive the refreshing of the Spirit. Father, let the chains break tonight. Let liberty be released tonight. Let freedom be released tonight. Let health be released tonight. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Something is happening already. And you will never leave here the same way you came. Give Him the clap and the shout of praise. As you take your seat. Proverbs 29 and in verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Vision and revelation for preservation. Vision and revelation for preservation. I welcome everyone here today to this
destiny preservation service. Our objective is to understand the preservation power of vision and revelation. Somebody says, what is the difference? We'll get to know that shortly. Vision and revelation are two key weapons for the preservation of lives and destinies. Two key weapons. And we'll take them one by one. We start with vision. What is vision all about? Vision refers to insight into God's purpose for a person's existence. Insight into God's purpose. You have an idea of the purpose of God for your existence. Vision. That is first definition. Vision also refers to the mental picture of discovered or desirable future. Mental picture of discovered or desirable future. When a person has, he knows why he is alive. That's the man of vision. When there is a mental picture of a future you have discovered, or of a future you desire, and it's right there in your mind, it is called vision. That vision has the capacity to preserve life. It has the capacity to prolong life. That is when you have insight into God's purpose for your life, and you know you are alive not as an experiment. You know your life, you are living a life unto purpose. When the picture of where you are going in life is in your head, is in your mind, that vision preserves life. It prolongs life. That is why people of vision are durable on earth. They are durable. They last. You go through examples of people of vision in scripture. They were durable. They were durable people. They were not people that came and just fizzled away. Example number one, Abraham. In Genesis 13, verse 14 to 17, we saw how God was introducing Abraham to the life of vision. Lift up your eyes from the way, from where you are. Look to the place far ahead of you, as far as your eyes can see, I will give to you. Abraham was a man of vision, and Abraham was durable on the earth. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 7, all the way to verse 8, we saw that the years of Abraham was 175 years before he died. He gave up the ghost in good old age, an old man, and full of years, and was gathered to his people. People of vision are durable people. They last. They stand the test of time. They weather the storms of life. People of vision. Example number two, Joseph. Joseph, you know that Joseph was the dreamer who kept on dreaming dreams and seeing visions. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 5 all the way to verse 5 all the way to verse 7, and then verse 9. He dreamt dreams about his future. He saw visions about his future and told it to his brethren. Even though they hated him, yet he maintained the vision. And he became a durable person. Despite everything he passed through, they threw him into the pit.
from the pit to Potiphar's house, from there to the prison. Everything that could have killed him was done, but he was not killable because there was a vision in front of him. By the time he died, he was an old man. In Genesis chapter 50 and in verse 26, in Genesis chapter 50 and in verse 26, so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. He died. He passed through the pit, yet he couldn't be killed. He was sold into slavery, yet he couldn't be killed. He went to Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife tried to snare him. He couldn't be killed. They put him in prison. He couldn't be killed because there was a vision that gave him durability. I prophesy to every man, every woman of vision today. It doesn't matter what the witch and the wizard, witches and wizards are doing about your case. It doesn't matter what the occult world are planning about your life. You are not wastable. You are not a wastable material. If you are a believer, shout the Lord and say amen. Lift your hands and say, I shall fulfill my days. I shall fulfill my days. The meaning of that is your vision is your guarantee of your destination. Your destination in life. Your destination in life. Your destination. Your end point in life is determined by vision. Look at Jacob. Example number 3. Jacob was a man of vision. We saw Jacob in Genesis chapter 30 and in verse 37. Where Jacob painted wood for animals. And he placed that wood in front of the animals. It was both his vision and the vision of the animals. And the animals delivered according to what they saw. And so, despite the fact that there was a threat on the life of Joseph, Esau was looking for him. All manner of things Jacob passed through. He couldn't be killed before his time because he was a man of vision. In Genesis chapter 47 and in verse 28, we saw the years of Jacob. The Bible said, and Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. 147 years. 147 years. Despite everything he passed through. And Joseph could not be killed. Is God speaking to somebody here at all? Hear me, beloved brothers and sisters. A man of vision is not an easily wastable material. You are not an easily wastable material. When you are not living life to chance, you cannot disappear by chance. Did you hear what I said? When your life is not lived to chance, you can't disappear by chance. No, but you can't exit this world by chance. It is not possible to go suddenly if you are not living life to chance, but living life by vision and living life by purpose. That was Jacob. Example number 4, Job. Job said, if a man lives, if a man dies, shall he live again? Answer is no. If that is the case, all the days of my appointed time, I will wait until my change comes. That was vision. He was looking forward to the time when his change will come. He was looking forward to the change of story. So it didn't matter what the devil brought against him. The devil couldn't pull him down. Because if the man has seen the future, you can't bury him in the present. Hey! If the man has seen the future, you can't bury him in the present. If the man has seen the future, you can't bury him in the present. If the man is in touch with the future, you can't bury him in the present. Everyone who sees the ultimate overcomes the immediate. Everyone who sees the ultimate overcomes the immediate. If the man has seen the future, you can't bury him in the present. The forces that make him to reach that future are at work in his life. If he has seen the future, you can't bury him in the present. You know why? Joseph, you know what Joseph did? One of the best things Joseph, anybody will do for his neighbor, was what Joseph did for his brethren in Egypt. Joseph knew the power of vision. When his vision kept him alive,
until he fulfilled his days, and no vagabond could excuse him out of this world, he decided to give his brethren the same principle. He told them, surely Jehovah will visit you and take you out of this land. I think a few verses before that. Surely the Lord will visit you and take you out of this land. It doesn't matter what you suffer. Remember that you won't finish here. It doesn't matter how wicked the Egyptians are. They can't finish you, Israel. They can't finish you. You are going to go out of this land. And let me give you an assignment. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. That I'm about to die. And God will surely, by dolatiously, visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Only do me a favor. Joseph took a note of the children of Israel. Swear to me that when God visits you, you shall carry my bones from here. I don't want to remain in Egypt. So 400 years later, when Israel went out of Egypt, they went with the dry bones of Joseph 400 years later. From generation to generation, the revelation, the vision was passed. Do you know, my son, God will visit you, all right? Don't forget the bones of Joseph. Baton handed to the next generation. Next generation. Next generation. It took about five to six generations. A generation being about 70 years. And the bones were buried. He gave them something to live for. If you have a reason to live, no devil can deprive you of that life. If there is a reason to live, no devil can deprive you of that life. I heard the story of a man whose father left him a lot of money, riches, including a private jet or something. And he was working again as a worker somewhere else. And someone said, you have so much money. What are you working for anyway? He said, no, I need to have a reason to wake up every day. I need to have a reason to be alive. For when the reason to be alive ends, life expires. Somebody say aloud, amen. So, vision. Please don't live with an empty heart. When the heart is empty of purpose, very soon the earth will be empty of the person. Hallelujah. Let's go, because we are still on vision and we are going to talk about revelation still. So what does vision do? As far as preservation is concerned, number one, vision gives reason for living. It gives you reason for living. That is, it fuels hope. And hope is the oxygen of life. It gives you reason for living. For to him that is joined to the living, there is hope. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and in verse 4. It gives you reason for living. Gives you hope. And that hope is the oxygen of life. A visionless person is a hopeless person. Is just on the earth, they become criminals, and before long they think of committing suicide. They don't have any reason to live. Number two, vision strengthens faith. Because when you can see there, your heart is full of the fire to get there. It strengthens faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 27, talking about Moses, he said, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Anywhere people can see the invisible, they will dare the incredible and do the impossible. So vision strengthens faith, and of course, you know, that the just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. So if vision is alive, faith is alive. And if faith is alive, life is in place. Number 3. Vision transforms or rejuvenates the system. Vision makes a man younger and younger. It just changes you from inside out. That was the way the vision changed the animals that Jacob painted the wood for in Genesis 30:37. People of vision are very young. They are young at heart and young in body. Normal people who are around our age, they move the leg the way we move it. That's normal people. They may need the attention of an orthopedic surgeon after a while. My children dance with me at times. All of them. They begin to pant for breath before me. Daddy, is enough. Stop, 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 stop. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm telling you practical. Somebody told my young man, he said, is your daddy trying to compete in dance with you? He said, no, I'm the one struggling to meet up with him. I'm the one strong, and that is reality. When you're, it just youngifies and youthifies you. They can give you 25 years discount on your age. Hey! It just renews and rejuvenates you. The reason is you have so much to do with your life. So you are not in a hurry to age. Did you hear what I just said? You have so much to do with your life, you are not in a hurry to age. You have so much to do with energy. You have so much to do with youth. Number 4, vision is a spiritual communication means between man and God. It's a spiritual communication means between man and God. God hears and answers the thoughts and visions of a man's heart. He hears them, he answers them. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think or imagine. See, he's hearing what you are asking, he's hearing what you are picturing and imagining. While we are yet speaking, he will hear. Before we ask, he will answer. Isaiah 65 verse 24, that's the realm of vision. So when on the table of your heart, you are seeing yourself at age 80, 90, or seeing yourself crisscrossing and impacting your world or doing this or that, you are thinking you are having a vision, but God is receiving a communication. For you it is vision, for God it is communication. That is, you are telling, you just wrote him a letter on the tables of your heart. You just informed him what you would like to do with your life. He picks them up as your communication. He is able to hear you before you are asking and what you are thinking and answers them. Oh, is that what is on your mind? You pick the signals of what I want to do with your life. All right? You will be able to go back to your village in the year 2035 if Jesus tarries and organize what you are talking about and demolish all the mud houses and build modern houses. I'll give you enough resources to do that. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is why when the heart is empty, God is hearing nothing from you. He's receiving nothing from you. You are communicating nothing. Say in the last days, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall dream. Old men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. That is, as you present your visions and thought to him, he in response to you, he releases more visions and thoughts of what you are to become. Was that number four? Vision is a spiritual means of communication. You are telling God what you want him to do with your life. You are showing God where you are, you are going in life. And God is saying, I hear you. And it's done. Number five, vision activates the forces of divine life. The forces of divine life. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So where there is vision, people flourish. Proverbs 29:18. Life, so there is a flow. There is a supernatural flow of life, of the life of God, where vision is alive, because God himself is a God of vision. And you know, the purpose of life is the life of purpose. So when you live the life of purpose, that is vision, you are living the purpose of life. And as you live on purpose, no devil cuts you off. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. The heart of the issue is the issue of the heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Praise the Lord. So that is how vision affects preservation. Now, what about revelation? I have told you that vision is insight into God's purpose for your existence. And vision is the mental picture of the future you have discovered or the future that is desired. That is a picture. Now, what about revelation? Revelation refers to light or illumination from the Word of God or from the Spirit of God. That's on a general note. You saw light from the Bible. You were studying scripture. All of a sudden, your eyes opened and you saw what you never saw before. You understood what you never understood before. It is called revelation. Or you were praying and your eyes opened and you began to see things in the realm of the spirit that your physical eyes were not seeing before. It is called revelation. So the first one that you saw from the word is called the revelation of the word. The other one that you saw while you were praying or doing something and you are seeing the spirit is called the revelation of the spirit. So whether it is revelation of the word or revelation of the spirit, revelation is doorway to preservation. Am I communicating? A second definition of revelation. Revelation is somebody getting anything here at all. So, revelation means you heard something or you saw something. Either from the word or from in the realm of the spirit. You heard something or you saw something. That's revelation. Revelation, second definition of revelation. Revelation is the unveiling of truth or reality. The unveiling, as if a cover was taken from something. The unveiling of truth or reality. Either from the word or from the spirit. The unveiling of truth, unveiling of reality. Suddenly, as if a cover was taken. You have read that passage before, but now you are seeing it in a different light. Oh, is this real? Unveiling. Or in the realm of the spirit, a cover was just taken. Oh, is that person the reason behind why my life is like this? Oh, is this what I need to do for God to change my story? Oh, suddenly, you just saw something. Something was uncovered. It is called revelation. Have you understood revelation as separate from vision? Revelation. Now, when we are talking about vision as it pertains to destiny, that was the definition I gave to you. But in the realm of revelation, the spiritual vision, where you are praying and you saw something, where you are dreaming and seeing something, can also be categorized in that realm of revelation. Am I communicating at all? Is it clear to you? Now, people of revelation in scripture are also durable people. Those who hear from the word, see from the word, hear from the spirit, see from the spirit, they also last. Let's see examples in scripture of men and women of revelation. Number one, Moses. Moses had the revelation of the word. That was how he wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Five books. He had revelations of the word. And Moses had revelations of the spirit. Exodus 33 and in verse 11. God spake with him face to face. And the Lord spake with Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Moses was revelation loaded. What was the outcome of Moses' life? He was very, very durable. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7, the Bible said, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim. And his natural force was not abated. He saw light out of scripture. He saw light, he heard from God. This man was as durable as durability. 120 solid years. Subtract your current age from 120. The balance is what is a possibility. If you are 59, it means 70 years are still ahead. Possibly. 120 years. If Moses was a leg walker, his own would have been very, very serious. It's about one translation, the Message Bible says, he still has a spring under his feet. That is, he was still bouncing at age 120. I met a man about 20 years ago, I met him in Sokoto. He was over 70 years at that time. Went to a Loring crusade. He came and met us in the hotel. It's around between 95 to 96 now. My wife said, let's go and meet the old man downstairs. I said, wait first. Before you can say praise the Lord, he climbed up to the room where we are. By the time we finished talking, let's escort him. She was running after him. Eh? I said, sir, how long do you intend to live? He said, as long as God wants. Telling us some secrets he can be at least 2 years more than that age that is being calculated now. He's aware of that. That was Moses. 120 years old. Then you move on to David. David was a man of revelation from the word. The whole book of Psalms. Almost all of the book of Psalms came out of David. He was a man of the revelation of the Spirit. In Psalm 89, verse 19 to verse 23, he said, then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One, and sayest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy cannot make demands on him. The son of wickedness can't afflict him. Why? Thou spakest to thy Holy One in the vision. Why? Thou anointest him with oil. So he owes the devil nothing. The devil can't ask him for tax. The enemy shall not exact upon him. And how did David die? Good old age. 1 Chronicles 29, how did he die? 1 Chronicles 29, verse 26, all the way to verse 28. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years, 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 30 and 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches and honor. Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead. He was a man of very serious revelation. You remember one time they said Saul was coming for him. And he said, Lord, I am in Keilah. I hear that Saul is coming. Will he come? Yes. These people that I helped, will they deliver me to his hand? Yes. He said, oh boss, let's be going. Guys are bad. Guys are bad. Guys are bad. See, people I just helped. They want to hand me over to my enemy. Guys are bad. Let's be going. 1 Chronicles, 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 10 to verse 13. That was where the story is. They are bad. Bad guys. Can I ask you a question? If David was moving by physical sight, these are people I have already helped. No need to pray to God. It's not possible. He would have learned the lesson of his life. You know, they say, whosoever carries a lion or a tiger, even a big cat by the tail, will learn a lesson that he could only learn by holding the tail. There's no way he could have learned it otherwise. I can't follow what I'm saying. If you touch his side, you won't learn that lesson. It's only by holding the tail. Then he will show you his cat hood. Hallelujah. That was what happened. David would have... You see, many of us have followed assumption and ended in not just frustration but destruction. Assumption can be doorway to frustration and gateway to destruction. Somebody you help can connive for your destruction. You don't follow assumption, you follow revelation. I have learned plentily, that you can help people and they will look at you and say, when? You can help them and they look at you and they say, how? And they are looking at you and they are behaving as if they can't remember that you ever... That is grounded people. People on the floor. That is why we need to understand. Because it takes God for man to know man. There are people you know that you don't know. Or you think you know them, you don't know them. That was why it was by revelation that David got to know the men of Keilah and what they would have done to him. That was how come he lived to fulfill his days. You will not die before your time. You will not be killed before your time. That was our second example in Revelation. That was David. And of course, third example is Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle was a man of deep revelation of the word. That was how come he wrote the book of Acts of the Apostles. And Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrew. Only one man. Then he was a man of deep revelation. He said, by the abundance of revelations. Peter, referring to Paul the Apostle, said things that Paul wrote were too difficult to understand. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 15. Paul the apostle showed us the gift of word of knowledge and word of wisdom and design of spirit, all the revelation gifts. Deep, deep revelation. When we say that there shall be no laws, the first person who said it to my knowledge was Paul the apostle. In Acts chapter 27 verse 22. And he said that based on revelation. He said, now, I'll read to verse 25. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. Why? Why am I saying there shall be no loss? For they are stood by me this night. The angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve. He said to me, fear not, Paul. Where you are going, you will reach there. Thou shalt be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given you all the people that sail with you. Everybody moving with you, they are given to you to be saved and also given to you to be preserved. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God. I am not a doubter. I believe that it shall be even as it was told me. Let the sheep scatter. There shall be no loss. Let the water, some are stored and some are scattered and some are fire. There shall be no loss. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Let there be grenade or bomb. There shall be no loss. Why? They have stood by me last night. Somebody will see something in the night. Somebody will see something from the world. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, shout a louder believer, say amen. Say after me, say in the name of Jesus, around my life, around my destiny, there shall be no loss. Will you say it like a minute? Say in the name of Jesus, around my life, around my destiny, there shall be no loss. Take your seat. Very, very quickly, before we round off, how does revelation affect preservation? One, revelation is spiritual light that dissolves the forces of darkness, including the darkness of premature death. Revelation. The light shineth in darkness. John chapter 1, if you read from verse 1 all the way to verse 5. But verse 5 says, the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it. That's, God will show you something from the word. Or show you something from the realm of the spirit. That will kill the fear of death. And kill the death you fear. You heard what I said? He will show you something from the word and something from the realm of the spirit that will kill the fear of death and kill the death you fear. You just saw it. And that light just shone out of, oh really? And the darkness comprehended it not. The day I saw a mighty giant angel. If I am standing like this, that angel, head would reach like the rooftop in the night. And he stood beside me. And his hand, you know, his shoulders were high up. Where the hand was up there. And he had a knife that was not a, it's a short knife. If he moved like this, 1,000 people may die. Who is this? He said that was an angel. A war angel. That moved with an ancient apostle who was very brutally judgmental. I won't tell you the balance of the story. I've said it before, but I won't say it today. You think I wake up in the morning and I will be afraid of any bastard? For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Somebody shout power. Shout it louder. Shout power. Shout it louder. Shout power. He will give you revelations out of the world. And revelation in the spirit that will kill the fear of debt and kill that debt with fear. Take your seat now, praise of the Lord, and let us rush very fast. Now, number two, revelation is the food and fuel of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Revelation fuels faith. It gives food to faith. Your faith is fed by what you heard, or by what you saw out of scripture, or what you heard and saw in the realm of the spirit. When Moses heard God and saw the burning bush, he could face Pharaoh. You know? Revelation is food and fuel of faith. And of course, you know that faith is a shield for life. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. There is something you will see from the word, something you will see from the realm of the spirit that will charge up your faith, and your faith will fence off every arrow and every missile fired in your direction. Number three, revelation transmits the power of God. And in this case, preservation power. It transmits the power of God. Every time you receive fresh light, it comes with fresh power. The Bible says the word of God is, the voice of the Lord is powerful. Psalm 29 and in verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is powerful. And if, whether that voice is coming in form of pictures, or is coming in form of words, whether from the Bible or coming from the realm of the spirit, it comes with power. Your power level changes. And that includes preservation power. Number four, revelation, especially the revelation of the word, transmits the life of God. The life of God. The word I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. John chapter 6, I believe, 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So when the word, when you connect revelation, and that is revelation of the word, there is an instant injection of the life of God. And the life of God is indestructible life. It's not a sacrificable life. A life that any devil can sacrifice as a ritual killer, or sacrifice in madness of wickedness. It's not a sacrificable life. Finally, revelation terminates oppression and affliction. Because most people are oppressed to death, afflicted to death. The affliction came in form of a disease that took them out. So they are not able to fulfill their days. Revelation terminates oppression and affliction. Or gives you victory over afflictions and oppressions. Revelation. Whether God showed it to you by vision, God showed it to you by from the word of God, God showed it to you wherever. It just kills affliction. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 31. He said, for through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down. Isaiah 30, 31. The Assyrian be beaten down that used to beat you with a rod. God will give you something that will beat your beater. That will oppress your oppressor. That will bury your fighter. He will give you a light. He will give you an insight. He will give you a revelation that will cause you to beat what was beating you. I cannot forget preaching this word in a Real One church many years ago. And I said, revelation is the cure for affliction. God just gives you a revelation, and an affliction is cured. And a woman had mouth ulcers that was incurable. No medication, nothing happened. After hearing this kind of preaching, in the night she saw a revelation where she was chewing sugar cane with the same mouth. She woke up in the morning and went and bought sugar cane and began to chew the sugar cane. And that dried up the ulcer in the mouth. Now, where is it written? Whenever thou hast mouth ulcer, thou shalt buy sugar cane. Nowhere. But God, who knows the mystery behind the ulcer in the mouth, knew the mystery that will counter that mystery. It was mystery versus mystery. I think a woman testified this Sunday. How many Sundays ago? Where she bought something that sent leave on Sunday, that she had something, and what happened in the dream about the sent leave? I gave her sent leave in the dream. Affliction, pain all over her body, and she was giving that. I gave her the sent leave in the dream, and she woke up in the morning and went and bought it, ate it, cooked it, fondized it with the food. That was the end of it. It's mystery versus mystery. God will just show you something that will decapitate the devil. He will just show you something out of the word that will just kill an affliction. I prophesy to someone here tonight, that revelation that will terminate your oppression, that will terminate your affliction, is coming your way right now. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the Lord must say amen. You are saying amen, shout it like the believer you are. Lift your hands, say, Father, I receive access to visions and revelations for my preservation and fulfillment of destiny. I receive now in Jesus' name. Take your seat. Did you gain anything tonight? Tonight will be full of encounters. There are those who used to have a lot of revelations before from the Bible, revelations in the spirit, but they disappeared. Tonight there shall be restoration. Positive revelations, not nightmares. Not demonic encounters. Very quickly, how do we access visions and revelation? That is, what is my access to knowing God's plan and purpose for my life? How do I discover the future God has in mind for me? And then, how do I see light from the word or see light in the spirit? Number one, walk in the fear of God. Walk in the fear of God. Psalm 25 verse 14. He said, the secret of the Lord, visions and revelations, are with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. You want to see what you haven't seen before out of this book? Fear God. Fear God means hate evil. Hate compromise. Don't live as a temptation. Don't take God for granted. Don't take the mercy of God for granted. Walk in the fear of God. Number two, walk in love and passion for God. Passion for God. Be a diehard lover of God. Let every devil who knows you know that you love God with a passion. That nothing can come between you and God. Why? Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It has not entered into the heart of man. The things which God has prepared for those who come to church. Is that what he said? The things which God has prepared for those who know the pastor. Is that what he said? The things which God has prepared for who? For them that love him. These things are things that are revealed to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yeah. the deep things of God.
Lovers of God, addicted.
That is you. There is nothing that is bigger to you than God. Not man, not woman, not a relationship, not money, nothing. When you are in that realm, you flow in the revelation of the word like water. There are those business who take them out of church. Somebody, a human being, will instruct them, don't serve God, and they agree. No. You swim in light if you are donated to God. Walk in love and passion for God. Number three, walk in passion or possess passion for the will and purpose of God. Just possess the passion. I want to know the will of God. I want to know the purpose of God for my life. Possess passion for the will and purpose of God for your life. Possess that passion for the will and purpose of God for your life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Don't depend on yourself. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Be passionate for what he wants. And he shall direct your path. What? When I was growing up, I'm still growing, but university days, what I hated the most was to miss God. Whether miss him and marry a wrong wife, or miss him and enter a wrong agenda, a wrong pursuit. I hated it with a passion. I feared it with a passion. So I prayed very desperately, very desperately. Anything can happen to me, Lord, but let me not miss you. Let me not miss your will. Let me, every single week of my life, it was a major prayer. I prayed in faith, not in fear. And by the mercies of God, I didn't branch to two women in terms of, can I marry you? It was one. I didn't branch into two assignments in terms of, could this be this? It was one, by his mercies. I didn't branch into two towns. I started there, I'm not sure, and I moved. I know of one of our young men in those days. He went to three different locations to start church. One town, move from there, another town, move from there, another town. Toxic confusion. See, whatever is not your passion can never be your portion. God will never give you insight where you don't have interest. If you are satisfied with living life to chance, then your life will be lived by chance. But if you are passionate about purpose, then you can't miss road. Archbishop Benson, that was of blessed memory. He said, nobody who is willing to make it misses it. That is, your will is set. No. So that passion must be there. I want to be sure you are in it. I want to be sure you are involved. Possess the passion for the will and purpose of God. Then you will enjoy consistent guidance. You will miss it here and there as a human being. But he will pull you on track. Put you on track. Pull you to track. And when I say be desperate, I'm not saying be. When I said I feared missing it, it was not that kind of mortal fear that people fear until they actually miss it. Lord, may I not marry the wrong wife? Oh, may I not marry the wrong husband? Oh, could this be the right wrong one? Hi, supposing this one is the wrong one. Hi, suppose this one. Until with eye open, they enter the wrong one. That's not it happened. I am talking about when God said that Noah moved with fear to build the ark. That was a reverential fear. I'm talking about that junction of your life where your faith is so intense and you feared to miss it until that fear of missing it becomes a positive faith in God to ensure you make it. I'm not talking of the oppressive fear that lacks faith. Am I communicating at all?
Where you are
so shaky until you actually do what you don't want to do. That's not what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Possess. Lift your right and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I will do your will and your purpose for my life. In Jesus' precious name. I'll be rounding off shortly. Number four, walk in spiritual sensitivity and watchfulness. I will stand upon my watch and I will watch. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 to 3. Sensitivity and watchfulness. While you are studying the word, watch out for what things God may say to you. When you are praying, be sensitive. Sensitive means don't take signals for granted. Sensitive means be in the listening mode. In the receiving mode. Number five, walk in the mode of inquiry. This is where questions are asked. While you are inside the word, is there something you are saying to me? Is there something you are showing me out of this passage today? While you are at the place of praying, you are finished praying. Lord, is there something you are saying today? Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways." What is the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. The ways refers to the word. See, ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk in it. Just ask questions. Nobody is entitled to answers until they ask questions. When I was growing up as a child of God, I thought that seeing and receiving and hearing things was completely automatic. There are things you will never hear about until you ask. There are things you will never receive until you ask. Lord, particular concerning this matter, what are you saying? In this area, what do you want me to know? There are things, there are dreams that will come and visions and revelations from the word that you didn't ask for. There are those that you must ask to receive. Otherwise, it would have said asked. That you will receive, so your joy can be full. Somebody say amen. Walk in the inquiry mode. Number six, live in fasting and praying. Live in the realm. Kenneth Hagin's called it a fasted life. When there is no need to eat, don't eat. Don't force yourself to eat. Don't eat because it is time to eat. Eat because you need to eat. It may be time to eat and there is no appetite because there is a call on to fasting. You know the way we receive prayer body, we also receive fasting body. You know, when God wants you to pray, all of a sudden you become uncomfortable around people. All of a sudden you become, your mood almost become a little bit dull. And then you begin to pray. When God wants you to fast, food begins to lose appetite. You see food you don't want to eat. You don't feel like eating. Don't force yourself. Huh? Your wife has already cooked breakfast. So okay, let me pity the breakfast so that it doesn't spoil. Between the breakfast spoiling and the future spoiling. Between the breakfast spoiling and the future spoiling. One man received the call on to fast. Passion to fast. He started in the morning. By around afternoon, he perceived the smell of very, very temptatious food. Unavoidable food. So, okay, let me eat it today. I'll continue tomorrow. After he finished eating that night, he received an oppression that as at the last time I knew, that oppression was still on after 15 years. Yeah. And he said, Pastor. And he said, what do I do? How can I preach faith and preach all these things when this kind of thing is afflicting my life? Please ask God to take it away. And then I will serve God fully. He said, don't do that.
serving for it.
Do you understand what I'm saying? While he meddled, only God knows what he wanted to prevent before he caused you to fast. Before the between the food spoiling and the oppression that has lasted for over 15 years, you will never be such a victim. My wife knows not to put me under any pressure. Food is ready. I am not ready. Two people need to be ready. If food is ready and I am ready, the eater is ready, then there is chemistry. Food is ready. I am not ready. At times I'm ready, food is not ready. Like one day, no, hold on, one day the breakfast was not ready. the breakfast was not ready, and I was ready. When the breakfast got ready, I was no longer ready. Yes. He said, the food is set. I said, my appetite is gone. I think I'll wait. I'm sure my wife was confused that day. And most times my breakfast is from 12 o'clock. Most days, 1 o'clock. That's breakfast. But this time I felt hungry early. So I said, can you, around 9, can you get something ready? When that something was ready, there was no appetite to eat it. I think I returned back there maybe about 3 or 4 later. Do you understand what I'm saying? We live in a very, very dangerous world. The devil is not resting. Don't overrest. When he said, I'm going to and from, it's from Job to Job, from Job to Job, from Job to Job. He said, the last time I left you, let me return to this guy, whether I will see something today. He comes, he tries you. He says, okay, let me leave him for a while. Let me return back later. You will never be a victim. Live in prayer and fasting. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. He said, is not this the fast I have chosen? And then verse 8. He said, then shall your light break forth. Fasting causes light to break forth. In seasons of the fast, you see things you never saw before. Now let me announce to somebody. In the name that is above every name, Jesus, the resurrected Lord. Some people have said that during the fast, they experience some oppressions. The last one shall be the last forever. No devil shall spoil your fast another time. You are saying amen, say it like you are a believer. Remain standing, everybody. I'll give you the final point on your feet. Live in fasting and praying. Number 7, live in the Word. Live in the Word. This raw, old, rugged Bible. Live in it. This one makes Bible easy for you too. It's iPad. We have many phones. In my phone, I have audio Bibles, and I'm sure many of you have the same. Live in it. Preach messages. Familiarize yourself with the voice of God out of the world, so that out in the world you can recognize the voice. You didn't hear what I just said? The voice of the Lord is on top of the waters. Psalm 29 verse 3 and 4 is on top of the waters. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. What is the water? It's the word, that he might sanctify them by the cleansing of the water. By the word. It's very easy to hear God out of the Bible. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. Lord, what are you saying to me out of this passage? My son, I am saying, if I don't beg you to serve me, you wouldn't need to beg me to bless you. Direct from the word like that. No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. Lord, what are you telling me? I am saying to you, the weapon that can prosper against you will never be manufactured. That's what I heard direct from that passage. That the equipment that will succeed against you will never be manufactured. You heard that? Out of the world. Then when you are away from it and you are out in the world, you are moving. The same tonality of voice, however it was you heard it from the Bible, is now. This person talking to you is not a genuine person. Watch him. Oh, really? He's about to tell a lie that he stole his bag. It's not true. I'm telling you, Oyibo man came to my office. Before he opens his mouth, this man, what he's about to tell you is not true. He says that they stole his, he's about to tell you a story of how they stole his bag. It's a lie. So when the man started talking, he said, I was coming from Jos, I dropped around Maraba, some people stole my bag. I was nodding my head. He thought I was understanding what he's saying. Well, I was nodding my head is, I have heard it before. Okay, so as white as you are, you can lie too. How did I know? I wish I can hear 100% of the time. I wish so. And some people will be in trouble. Hallelujah. If you can hear him out of the world, you will be able to recognize it out in the world. Just live in the world. Even the voice, God uses the voice of your pastor to talk to you. That is why Eli, Samuel was hearing God and he thought it was Eli he was hearing until he ran to Eli. He said, you are calling me. He said, I'm not calling you. 3 times. Then the man perceived that God was calling Samuel. It's okay. Whenever you hear that same voice, tell him, speak, thy servant heareth. What was going on? God was using the voice of his father to talk to him. That's why some people say, I had an encounter. I saw the servant of the Lord. In the same way you see the picture, you can also hear the voice. Many people have said so. In the theater, I heard the senior pastor's voice saying, just relax there. God using the voice of his servant to talk to them. Am I communicating at all? So you connect yourself with audio preached messages. I endeavor to listen to my own father in the Lord daily. That is, if I am too busy, I will listen at least 15 to 30 minutes snatch of word. Am I communicating? I think it's Isaiah chapter 30, verse 19. 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, it doesn't matter what you pass through, just ensure that the voice of your teachers is not removed. Place it on the screen. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. Just be in touch, but thine eyes shall see thy teacher. After that has happened, verse 21, and your ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. What is the meaning? If you are in touch with the voice of your teachers, God will pass through their voice to give you direction. He will pass through their voice to show you the way to go. In fact, he will use their voice directly most times. Am I communicating? Somebody say amen. Somebody receive some download tonight. May God confirm this word overnight for you with diverse revelations and diverse visions. Lift your hands and let's give him the praise. Give him the praise.
Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Father, we praise you. Father, we worship you. Father, we honor you. Blessed be your name. Adoration to your name. In Jesus' precious name. Your prayer is too dull. It's characteristic of someone who ate so much that is unable to stand up from the seat. But you must overcome that right now. Lift your voice and say, Father. Louder, say, Father. I am available to receive access to visions and revelations. Help me, Lord, to walk in the fear of the Lord. To walk in love and passion for you. To possess passion for your will and your purpose for my life. Father, help me to walk in spiritual sensitivity and watchfulness. Help me, Lord, to walk in the mode of inquiry, to be able to ask questions and receive answers. Help me, Lord, to live in the realm of fasting and prayer. Help me, Lord, to live in the world. Help me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God.
Panted for the waters of my soul. You are Lord, my heart, and I am ready, Lord, to worship you. Worship you.
Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. By the breaking of the bread, their eyes were open and they knew him. On the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, the eyes of the disciples were open and they knew him. In the course of the breaking of the bread. Father, tonight, this communion is my communion of vision, of revelation, of preservation. He suffered no man to do them wrong. He rebuked kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets none. And he overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimonies. Father, say after me, say, Father, I receive my communion of vision, of revelation, of preservation. Tonight, I shall fulfill my days. I cannot be cut short before my time. Open your mouth and speak to God. I shall fulfill my days.
Father, we give you the praise and the honor tonight. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name.
While we are in that mood, anyone here tonight in need of surrender to Jesus, you want your sins forgiven, you want today to mark a new day for you, you want Jesus to be Lord over your life, you pick your Bibles, pick your bags, quickly rush to the front. Pastor, I saw the fear of God as the number one thing on the list of requirements for vision and revelation. I want to walk in the fear of God. I want my sins forgiven. I want today to mark a new day for me. Carry your Bibles and your bags and quickly rush to the front and let us pray for you. God bless you. I'll give you the count of seven. You want to live in the fear of God. While they are doing that, the communion is taking place as well. Can we take our seats while they come forward? Carry your Bibles, carry your bags. Want to have your sins forgiven? You want to make Jesus to be Lord over your life? You are saying to me, Pastor, deliver me from addictions. Deliver me from bondage. Deliver me from negative lifestyle. I want to rededicate myself to God. I want today to mark a new day for me. I'll give you the count of seven. Come forward. One.
I have decided.
Two.
To follow Jesus. I have decided.
Three.
To follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus.
place your hand on your chest. There's a few in the front. And pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it louder. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. I receive the grace to live for you, to do your will. Help me to live for you. Help me to do your will. Help me to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing me. Thank you, Lord, for answering me. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken off your life. I declare grace be released upon you. Help from above to serve God, to do his will, to fulfill his purpose is released upon you. And I call it done. In Jesus' precious name. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Congratulations. Something new is starting with you. Counselors are right behind you. Please usher them to take their seat wherever it is so they can be a part of the communion as well. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every moment I'm awake, every moment I'm awake. I'm awake. Have your way. Before we take the communion, let's take the offering out of the way. Stretch your two hands in front of you. I prophesy upon your hands today. I declare that your harvest will look for you from the north, the south, the east, and the west. What is yours, no devil shall keep back. I call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, pick up your offerings, tithes and pledges, and you have your special seed. You can also make it available. Having picked it, you can lift it high up with a shout of victory. Father, bless the seed of every giver. Let the hand stretched out never go back the same. In Jesus' precious name. So shall it be. Pass it on.
Kelenu Jehovah nihi nojira nima. Kelenu Jehovah nekero waline. Kelenu Jehovah nihi nojira nima. Kelenu Jehovah nekero waline. Hosanna de kiri. Hey, what did you?
Oyo na nyaya dindadile.
Hosanna.
Hallelujah. You can pick up the communion now and lift it up. Will you stand up on your feet with it? Father, thank you for tonight. And you can, your own communion points of contact you brought, you can also lift them up. One more time. It's communion of vision, revelation, preservation. By the speakings of the blood of Jesus, every arrow of death looking for you is refired back to hell. In the name of Jesus, refired back to hell. Everything in your system that is not of God is flushed out right now.
Overnight tonight, God will unveil everything that is undercover around you. Every agent of darkness positioned to deceive you shall be uncovered. Every agent of darkness in the territory where you live, the house where you live, the environment where you live, in the city where you live, in this city, camouflaging to be a friend, camouflaging to be of help, camouflaging to be a child of God, camouflaging to be a worker, camouflaging to be a pastor. This season, this night, I declare they shall be unveiled. Unveiled to you, unveiled to you, unveiled to you, unveiled to your family, unveiled to your family, unveiled to your community, unveiled to your city, unveiled to our city, in the name of Jesus. It's a very dangerous prayer that we just prayed. This night, any direction you need. You were on the road that was wrong and you thought it was right. Overnight tonight, Jehovah grant you direction. Jehovah grant you direction. Any road that will lead you to death, Jehovah lead you away from it by divine visions and revelation. Whatever is packaged into your body that is not packaged by God is flushed out right now. Terminal diseases are terminated. Every trace of cancer, every trace of HIV, every trace of hepatitis, sickle cell anemia, diabetes, hypertension, every inherited disease, ancestral disease, by the power of the body and the blood of Jesus tonight, they are flushed out of your system. Everything God has healed in your life before, that the devil is trying to return back to your body, tonight they are flushed out of your system. This is the communion of fruitfulness to somebody trusting God for the fruit of the womb. This is the communion of liberty to somebody in bondage of masturbation, in bondage of lesbianism, in bondage of alcoholism, in bondage of gambling, in bondage of immorality. It is flushed out. Bondage of lying, duping, cheating. In the name of Jesus, I decree tonight, open heavens around where you sleep. Your pillow becomes a Bethel tonight. Tower set up from the earth to heaven. Angels are ascending and descending. Ancestral curses are broken tonight. Generational curses are broken tonight. Near success syndrome is broken tonight. Spirit wife, spirit husband, spirit children are expelled tonight. The demon of failure at the edge of breakthrough is broken tonight. They will never give your job to another person another time. Your miracle will not be diverted another time. And for your trouble, get ready to receive double. In the name, those who have visions and revelations and prophetic dreams and they disappeared. Tonight I prophesy a restoration. A return, a restoration. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and take that communion. Take your seat.